Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life weekly program for Wednesday, October 25th, 2017. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly, and Dr. Vicki Hunter is away on assignment, a.k.a. she's celebrating her birthday. I think she's 29. Anyway, so hope she has a good time tonight. Of course, Michael Kelly's with us, and he'll be participating more in tonight's program. Welcome, son.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And, of course, we welcome all those listening to the live program. And those in the chat room, which would be the live program, and those listening to the archives, as far as those in the chat room, the chat seems to be acting a little bit funky tonight for me anyway, but I am seeing some posts, so hopefully it's not too wonky to be used tonight. So we'll keep that in mind and kind of monitor it there. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief, which is customary for our service this, each week. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight, if you have any topics you would like to have discussed, be sure to put them in the chat room if you're listening live. And otherwise, we're going to discuss some things, and Michael's going to start us off on our discussion. And, of course, we'll pull cards a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've been thinking about what could we talk about tonight. And one thing that really felt pressing to me, and it's felt pressing because it's something I'm going really dealing with right now, and that's at times you feel helpless about things that are going on. You feel like, not to be too theatrical, but the world's spinning out of control and there's nothing you can do about it. And, I know that we can feel that way at times, but the real truth of it is that it's not always that bad and there are things we can do about it.
True.
And they don't have to be grandiose. They can be just a small act of kindness, holding the door open, just trying to make that world that you want to live in. And needs to go a little bit further than that sometimes, though. We do have to be active participants. We can't just be bystanders. But, I'm sorry. I'm still trying to see if I can get the, there it goes, the chat working. Sorry about that. But, you know, the...
Well, you bring up some good points, and, you know, and bear in mind that these are some of the observations of an early 30-something-year-old, right?
As far as
and
I know.
So, yeah, as far as you know. And, I mean, that's what you've been told your whole life, your age, right? How do we know that it's really true? We have a piece of paper that says it is. That's a whole other philosophical discussion.
what do you call it, going down the philosophical black hole?
Yeah, rabbit hole.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah, so these are interesting observations from the young ones from today. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of noise out there. I think that times are polarizing, and I think that, you know, part of the change that we want to see is that we want to live in a world where we can get along. And part of that is understanding that we can't control others, but we can influence others when it's appropriate to do so.
Yeah.
And really, you know, we've said it before, and I'll say it again, if people would really just follow the 9 principles of belief, it would be a much better world, because then you wouldn't have these codependent behaviors and, you know, all of these layered reasons why, you know, oftentimes people act against their own interests. And it's honestly baffling, but all we can do is we can try to educate the world. We can try to enlighten people the best that we can.
Yeah. So what else, enlighten people, how do you do that?
Well, and it's really, I think, the best way is to teach people why certain things matter. Why is it important not just to do no harm, but to actively do right? Because, you know, often repeated quote, but a good one nonetheless, is that the only thing required for evil to succeed is for good people to do nothing. And give me just one moment. I'm sorry about that. I thought I was going to have a connection issue, but really the important thing is, you know, it's about having a healthy impact. And instead of, you know, going on social media and using it as just a constant battle of us versus them, you know, it's important to try to reach out. You know, how can we enlighten? Is we can try to find common ground and then use that common ground to build towards other lessons and other truths that we might share. And, you know, if we can truly understand these, you know, these people that we consider our adversaries, at least, then it'll help us find cooperation, which I know is kind of a dirty word in some places, but
yeah, it can be, but it's actually a good thing if we all cooperate to bring about the best good, you know, that we can, paying it forward and so forth.
Well, and it's just about getting, we have to, as a people, as a species, get beyond that us versus them tribalism. So that's, you know, how are we going to change the world? Well, that's one way. We try to abandon that us versus them mindset, that kind of tribalism that is frankly inherent in our nature. But if we're aware of it, then we can, you know, fight against it, that we can correct it. And, you know, that's, a lot of that comes into, inherent biases, you know, a lot of times subconscious, you know, I've done it before, especially when I was younger, you know, I'll use one that, you know, I had an inherent bias against, you know, people that would fly, the type that would fly a Confederate flag, and I would have an automatic opinion, but then, you know, you start to meet people in life and you realize that to them it doesn't mean the same thing it means to you, and even though you don't agree with it, they're not trying to do something bad. They're not trying to be bad, you know, do anything wrong. It's just they perceive it a different way. And that's where the ideas come into play, where you can have that kind of interaction, where you exchange ideas, and hopefully your ideas will win out. The superior philosophy will eventually win out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good example. The thing is that that can be extrapolated to other things. We may not agree with people's choices. We may not agree with their lifestyle or whatever, but, you know, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily wrong. I mean, there's a lot of homophobes in the world, and that doesn't mean that being gay is wrong. It just means that they have a problem with it.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times they're not bad people. They just lack awareness.
Well, and
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and that's exactly what we just need to keep in mind. I mean, it's you can't just get to a point where everything, you know, whatever anybody believes is fine because that's what they believe. You know, some things actively need to be challenged. You know, homophobia, especially to the extent that you'll see from places like the West Baptist Church, where they'll protest everything for every reason they can think of, and they just pull it out of thin air because for some unknown reason they want that to be true. I mean, who would want to live in a world where God would do such things that would God would simply allow a soldier to die for no other reason than the country that a soldier came from allowed two men or two women to be together? The idiocy of it, and yet people believe it. But, you know, another thing that I think of is, why do people cling to these things? What do they get from it? Why do they feel that they need that in their life? And
I mean, people need a cause. A lot of people are, you know, they're idle hands, so to speak. They don't have enough going on in their life. They don't have a purpose. They don't have something that brings deep meaning to their life. And, of course, our purpose is the thing that we do to find that meaning and fulfillment and to fulfill that meaning. And so when people don't have a definite purpose in life, they need a cause, so they jump on bandwagons that seem to coincide with their own biases, their own upbringing, their own beliefs. You know, belief is the most powerful thing in the universe. And so they jump on the bandwagons, and, you know, and it's why you have these extremist groups and gangs. You know, they all need to fit in somewhere. I mean, we're social creatures. And so people need a cause, and a lot of times that cause is just they think it's right. But it's just preference, you know. It doesn't matter whether somebody is gay or not gay. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Most things don't matter. I like what Plato said back in the day, a long time ago.
Which was a Wednesday. You
know, yeah. He said basically, you know, nothing in the affairs of men is worth worrying about, was the essence of it. And, you know, we might say, well, what do you mean? I mean, we could have a nuclear war. We could have all kinds of stuff going on. We got some doofus as a president. And you know, and what's he going to cause? I mean, there's a lot of people worried about that. But nothing in the affairs of men is worth worrying about when you look at the grand scheme of things, when you look at the big picture. You know, it's not worth worrying about. None of it is. I mean, I remember when Obama was elected president, you know, and people, I mean, you couldn't get ammunition because it was in short supply. Everybody thought that, you know, we were going to be taken over. It was going to be a dictatorship that, you know, we were going to just, our way of life in America was going to all go to pieces. And what happened? You know, nothing that happened. You know, the things, and this leads right into another big issue, is the whole doomsday concept. Mm-hmm. People love doomsday prophecies. I mean, they must. We must as a species, because there's all kinds of doomsday prophecies. There's all kinds of people thinking the end of the world, the end of the country, the end of this, the end of that. It's all coming down. We're all going to die if we live long enough, and that kind of thing. So we got to, you know, stock up on guns and ammunition so we can fight for our way of life, because we're better than them. And the fact is that nobody's better or worse than anyone else. It's a shame, like you mentioned, tribal warfare and all that. It's a shame that we even have boundaries. I mean, this is Earth. We're all humans. There's one race. You know, we don't need to have this competition between countries. We're all human beings. We all are made of the same stuff, regardless of skin color, regardless of sexual preference or orientation, I should say. It doesn't matter. We're all human beings. You know, we're all the same. We all came from the same place, stardust. I mean, that's a fact. That's a scientific fact. We're all the product of supernovas, really. You know, created the heavier metals and made life possible. So if we're going to jump on a bandwagon or a cause, we need to make it right. mm-hmm. a right one, a good one, a wholesome one.
Well, and you know, I have to say that a lot of times I feel that these kind of doomsday prophecies, they really give people license to be apathetic. You know, it doesn't matter. It's all going to blow up someday anyway. But you know what? It's not. It's really not. We have to live with the knowledge that we are building currently the world that we're going to be passing down to the future generations. And it's not written yet. We are currently writing the story of our lives, of our society, and of our culture. So that means that we can change it. And, you know, I mean, what if, you know, all these bad things are happening, and there's nothing, you know, and it's going to be an insurmountable challenge. Well, does that mean we're just going to do nothing? No, we're going to continue to do the best that we can do to make the world the best that we can make it, no matter what. And that doesn't change.
Yep. You know, again, it all goes back to our belief system, you know, and our beliefs come from, well, everywhere, largely from growing up. We adopt the beliefs of our parents, the religious beliefs, the different things like that, and things that we observe. We listen to celebrities, we listen to experts, we listen to this person, that person. We formulate all these beliefs, and they're biased and all that. And so we have our set of beliefs, which basically regulates our success or failure in life. How well we do.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've kind of lost my train of thought. The point that I wanted to make was, I guess it was inspired by a comment from Fran. We have to understand why we belong to a tribe and how we got there. We're a tribe of one, you know, we're a human tribe, as I'd mentioned before. And now I've lost my train of thought, but before I lose it again, let me just mention this, that for some reason the chat room is not refreshing. That's why I keep typing checking in there, because once I type something, then it will refresh. So if it's not refreshing for our listeners, just put a period or something like Michael did, and it'll refresh once you post something, and then we can, and I'll have to figure out what's wrong with it. I have no clue. Your thoughts on?
Well, you know, it's we were talking about how did we get to the tribe that we think that we're in? How did that come about? And you know, I can relate to it in a certain way. From when, you know, I was young, left a very tight-knit family and a very closed-in religion and social group, and I left a religion that had largely, in a lot of ways, been my identity up until that point. So I was already coming to a point in my life where I was searching for identity, and I would have been anyway. Any person is at that age. When they're 13, 14, 15, you're finding yourself. And, you know, one thing I latched onto was, for whatever reason, just Irish heritage. And I just began getting interested in all things, you know, Celtic and Irish because of the, I have no idea, 40% Irish that I am. But it just became something, you know. I just wanted to know, who am I? What am I? And you look to external sources for that, and you just do that naturally. That's part of human nature. But, you know, you have to be careful at the same time. You have to approach it with a critical mind. And those critical reasoning and critical thinking skills really need to be taught earlier in life than they are. And frankly, I mean, we can't. It needs to be taught in as many places as we can. I'd like to see real critical thinking skills being taught in elementary schools and things, to teach you how to think, how to approach information with a reasoned mind, not just skeptical to cast doubt on everything and to say, it's all wrong. You know, all of this is, well, I'll fall back on one of my favorite sayings, that nothing is anything all of the time. Everything is, you know, ever changing.
Yeah, and so we have to examine where we're at, our belief system, causes that we promote, and it all starts with education. It starts with self-awareness, educating ourselves, and that's obviously the point of this church. It's the point of our schools, is to help people to become more self-aware, to learn the practical life skills that we were never taught in school, or most of us growing up. And so we need to continue to educate ourselves in all kinds of ways and be that positive force, you know, be the change you want to, that you see type of things, I think Gandhi said. And we need to continue that education, and that's the point of the school. And so if you're a student listening to this, you know, keep that education going. Keep going with your studies. One of the big things that we find is that life can get in the way, and it distracts us and gets us away from achieving our goals. We have to sometimes just take a deep breath, press the pause button, as Dr. Hunter would say, and reestablish our goals and our objectives and get back on track to reaching those things. Because none of us want to get to the end of the days, end of our days, you know, in our deathbed with the woulda, coulda, shouldas, the if onlys, and the might have beens. You know, we don't want to look back and regret. We want to look back and say, you know, I seized every moment. I worked it for everything it was worth, and I lived life to the full in every moment to the best I could in that moment. And so we live life. We don't succumb to the kind of thinking that we can't do that. It can't be done. It's too hard. You know, we have to constantly say, how hard can it be? And then go after it and make it happen. That's the only way you'll get your objectives and fulfill your dreams, is to go out and make it happen. And it's not always a fast process. It you know, it's little baby steps along the way, but always have that mindset that you're on your road and you're on your path, and you're exploring your path as you walk it with a sense of anticipation and a sense of wonderment. What's going to be next? What's my next door that's going to open? What's the next chapter? Good points.
Well, that actually makes me think of one of my, we mentioned Gandhi with, be the change you want to see in the world, which, one of my favorites. One of my other favorite quotes is by Albert Einstein, and he said, the mysterious is the most beautiful thing that we can experience. And that's really life, isn't it? What's more mysterious than what's to come? Yeah. I mean, we have our expectations, but that's kind of the excitement about being human, is we really don't know. I mean, we hope for the best and we plan and we do what we can, but that's the excitement. That's the variable that makes life worth it, that makes it worth trying, because you don't know how it's going to come out. But yeah, you know that if you apply, well, I mean, in day to day, but you know that if you apply yourself over time, you can move the needle, then you can really see effective change, and not just, and it, all of these things that I'm talking about can really be applied to the grand scale or just about a person and their life and their day-to-day life, and, you know, small victories that you can tally up for yourself. And,
well, yeah, go ahead.
Well, and I think that that's, you know, it's also important in how you gauge your expectations. I mean, what's a successful life? Is it the one where you're, by the time you reach the end of your life, of your journey, that you've amassed the most wealth and the most power? Is it the life where you felt like you've touched the most hearts and you've had the most satisfaction? You found satisfaction in your work, in your life's goal, in your dreams. So, I mean, it's all in how we define things too.
Yes, it is. And so as we contemplate our lives, we have to step back from the forest and look at the whole thing, realizing that nobody knows for sure what's going to happen at the end of life. You know, all the evidence suggests we continue on, and that's basically what we believe. You know, start a new chapter. What's it going to be like? Have no clue. We can get, indications from near-death experiences and so forth, but when you look at the grand scheme of things, consciousness permeates everything. In fact, consciousness may be the reason everything exists, and it probably is. It's like the gas in an engine. Consciousness fuels the universe and life, and it's the thing that makes everything go. And so we don't want to get so myopic and, mm-hmm. and narrow visioned about our own lives and our lives and troubles and things that we fail to expand and look at the bigger picture and understand that everybody's kind of in the same boat here. We're all trying to do the best we can with the knowledge, experience, resources, and level of awareness we have at the moment. But we need to expand that level of awareness and understand that there is a lot more to life than just the things in the news, politics, religion. Mm-hmm. It's a huge cosmos out there. And, you know, and if the many worlds theory is correct, then there's tons of parallel dimensions and parallel universes. And, I mean, it's so big, and consciousness permeates it all and makes it all run. That means that we are all part of something magnificent in our own in individual ways, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with being an individual, and just because there's a zillion of us, and probably several zillion of us in all the different universes, you know, that means that it doesn't mean that we're no less special. We're all special. Everybody's special. Everybody's unique. And we all contribute and we all play a role. It's like a movie. You know, they're different roles, right? They cast different roles and they all work together to make the movie. Same is true with music. You have different instruments that play different roles at different times, and it all serves to make a beautiful orchestration or beautiful song.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say another quote that's probably been said too many times is Shakespeare. All the world is a stage and all of us mere actors. Although I think he meant a little bit something different about it, but I was also thinking that it's kind of an interesting personality test where you look at when you really look at the infinite nature of existence. There are people that will be terrified by that, and there will be people that will be, well, what's the way to put it? Liberated by it. They'll find it's fascinating. They'll find the entire concept almost freeing, where you realize these. Well, I guess I'm at a loss for words about how I really want to describe it. I don't know if you have anything coming to you.
No, I guess I will tie in a comment Fran made in the chat that backtrack, and you will eventually see that all paths lead to the beginning and find that we all originate from the same point. That's very true. We all do. And we all need to bear in mind that it's about all of us, folks. It's not just about me, and it's not just about you. It's about all of us and how we work together to make a better world. And that means practical life skills. That means relationship skills, critical thinking skills, as you had brought out earlier. Mm-hmm. That means learning how to live successfully, not to take ourselves too seriously, not to get bogged down with our own problems, our own headaches, but to understand that this is all part of the journey, and there's lessons to be learned in every circumstance. So that's kind of what I got to say about that.
Well, you know what they say. If you take life too seriously, you won't make it out alive.
You know, either way. You know.
Well, and
so, go ahead.
I was going to say, and the first 100 years are the hardest.
Yeah, that's what my dad used to tell me. Don't worry, son. The first 100 years are the hardest. Cracked me up. It's true, you know.
But it's, well, even truer in the concept of, you know, if consciousness is more than just the material world, which, like you said, every indicator points to it being, then it really is just the beginning, or perhaps a chapter. Yeah. And that's what I was trying to kind of get at is there are people that will be terrified by the scope of existence, and there will be people who find it breathtaking, and they will find it beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there's a need, I think, in people to feel special, which is why they find the infinite terrifying, because they feel that somehow it makes them less special. That's not the case. You know, there was it took me a long time to really try to figure out people that think the world is flat, that legitimately think the world is flat. I was struggling to try to comprehend why. I couldn't understand it until somebody pointed out they had written, you know, that the conspiracy is that people want you to think that the universe is expansive so that you feel insignificant, when in fact you are much more important than they want you to believe. And then it made perfect sense, because they looked at the infinite expanse of existence and they were terrified and they needed to shrink it. So yeah. That made them feel comfort. That made them feel that they had control. And
yeah, there's a big one.
Yeah. And I struggled for a long time to try to comprehend how somebody could think something so easily disproven.
Yeah. Well, if anybody in the live chat wants a card pulled, put your name in there, and we'll get to those in just a second. There's so much to this that I just want to reemphasize. Understand the big picture. Never take no for an answer, if you will, you know, in terms of your own objectives and goals. Never say that's too hard. Always go after it. Make it happen, because that's part of your journey. That's the path you're on, and nobody else can walk your path. You have to walk it. You have to learn from it. So always have that attitude where you're going to go out and make things happen, because we need people to make things happen. We need that so much, and you need that in your life. You need to go make things happen. And it's the way to get what you want. You know, one of the things is regulate how much you watch the news and all the crap that is going on. Because it's not portrayed accurately always. So, yeah, things happen. You know, son, you and I have talked about this many times. My position is this, you know, same stuff, different decade. You know, there's always stuff going on in the world. There's always this and that. There's always a terrorist attack. There's always this and that and crap happening in the world. And it's always been that way. And frankly, it's better today than it was in millennia past.
Well, obviously. You know? Undeniably.
And so we're getting better. You know, it's not as fast as any of us wants, but we are making progress, slow as it may seem.
Well, and I'm just checking to see if we...
Well, and I'll keep going, you know, so don't buy in to all the hype you see on TV, on the news and all that. Remember, there's a bigger picture here, you know, and that's why I take a position. I grew up expecting Armageddon to be right around the corner. That's what I grew up with, doomsday prophecies. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to die except Jehovah's Witnesses. That's what I grew up with. That's what I grew up believing with all my heart. And then one day I woke up when I was about 40 years old and realized that the sky wasn't really green after all. It was actually blue, and everything I had been taught and believed in up to that point was all a bunch of crap. It was somebody else's idea of reality. That's all religion is. And people will fight to the death over that because somebody else's reality, whether it's Buddha or Christ or Muhammad or whoever, it's their idea of reality. It's not necessarily right or wrong. It's just their idea. And it's not necessarily right for everybody. We have an obligation, a responsibility to figure out life and to not rely on religious leaders or political leaders or anybody else to determine what we will believe. Mm-hmm. You know, we determine what we believe. We create and develop our own core principles. We don't seek the identity of somebody else. We maintain our own identity. And when we follow somebody else like that, especially religious leaders and fervently, we are essentially adopting somebody else's reality for our own. We're adopting somebody else's identity. And that's irresponsible. Figure it out for yourself, you know, and always in the light of do no harm, do right. Those religions, no, they can do some good for sure, but history is replete with the travesties of religion. And I mean, the extremists today, the Islamic extremists are just the thing that's going on now. 500 years ago was Christian extremists burning everybody at the stake and and all the stuff they did, the Crusades and all the crap they did. You know, we have to work this out of our system as a species. And so people, figure out your own identity. Rethink everything you were taught. And if you're into religion and all that, rethink it. I mean, even the concept of God does not hold to logical introspection when you really look at it, because no all-loving creature would do this. So, but that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, I'll just agree that you're absolutely correct. I mean, it would be almost impossible to have an omnipotent, can do anything at any time God that would allow these kinds of things to happen. Of course, that's a whole another long discussion about God in that. But I will say that, you know, you're right. I think as a people, we are, as a culture and society, we've gotten smart enough to realize that the traditional dogma cannot possibly be right. So we're looking for other things, which is why we look to metaphysical humanism in a lot of ways, because we still have that yearning to explore, to seek, to understand, to come together and to, you know, find enlightenment with each other and exchanging ideas. And, you know, I honestly take for granted a lot of the things that I know and that I've learned and the lessons that I've gotten from many years of discussions with you and discussions with, you know, a lot of people, including Dr. Hunter, but really a lot of good lessons that you do learn by going through the different degree programs, and the nine principles is really encapsulates it, because especially do no harm, do right. I have to say that's always been my favorite.
But if the whole nine principles, in my opinion, are the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet. And it's not because I'm, you know, getting into that, oh, ours is better than yours type of thinking. It's not. It's just they're healthy. You know, accept people. You know, don't judge people. Do right. Do no harm. You know, we're all one people. We're all one, you know, one race. I mean, they're all healthy. Educate yourself. You know, find self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and become complete within yourself without the need to have anybody else or anything else complete you. I mean, those are all healthy. They don't cause people to separate. Christianity is nothing but separation. The same is true with Islam and other religions. You know, it's all a separation. Even Christ said, you know, I came to separate people. You know, well, it's what it's all about. So metaphysical humanism is not about separation. It's about empowering the human spirit. It's about empowering yourself. It's about understanding that you are special in your own right, and that we're all special, and that we all can get along, and we all can have differences of opinions, different beliefs, so forth, but we accept people for who they are, not for what they believe, unless their belief is, you know, you go out and murder people, then that's not right.
Well, it's everything within reason in terms of accepting people. I mean, we're talking about day-to-day life. We're not talking about the extremes and whatnot. But we're in a wonderful time right now. We're growing as a people. We're growing out of the old ways of thinking, and I really truly believe that we're growing in a good direction, that the future is going to be bright, that we are going to make a beautiful world. And
glad to hear that.
Well,
because it's true.
It's true if we make it true, and I'm bound and determined, and I think a lot of other people are too, to make it true. So it will be.
All right.
On that note.
Cards.
Yeah. First up, I have Darlene. And, Darlene, I've pulled number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remain constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or the lack thereof.
I don't know. These cards are... and therein lies another indication of consciousness. I mean, we've been talking about meaning and purpose for the last half hour or so in various ways, and that's the card that gets pulled. How does that happen? Is it coincidence? It's beyond that. It's amazing to me how this happens. Like every week, it's just amazing to me. So. That's a great card, meaning and purpose. Mm-hmm. And by the way, these cards that we're pulling, if you're new to the program, are the inner oracle cards that we have. There are 54 cards in several different suits, and they basically teach everything about metaphysical humanism. It's nuggets pulled from our courses and different beliefs that we have. So. They're very powerful, but they have a life of their own. I never expected that, but yet they do. All right, who's next?
Next, we have Teresa. And, all right. If I was listening to this, I might consider that these were pulled on purpose, but I swear to God it wasn't. I've just been shuffling them absentmindedly. This one's 28. Do no harm. Do right.
Telling you.
Well, I just had to laugh because it really is my favorite. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establish the foundation for all other principles. It's that last part there, I think, is why it's my favorite.
Yeah, it's foundational. I mean, everything in our belief system, in the principles of belief, in the schools, everything is based on do no harm, do right. It's a great card, great concept. All right, let's go to the next one.
All right. And the next one's for Fran, who in chat told us that in her DNA test she found out she was a bit Irish too, so I said I'm definitely in good company. All right. And Fran, for you I picked number 43, expediency.
I'm telling you. Go ahead.
Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency, others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down and assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Yep, there you go.
In the night of good quotes, great quotes, that's one of the best. Do what you should do when you should do it.
And, of course, the trick is to know exactly what to do, and even more tricky is when you should do it. But if you can do that, if you do what you should do, when you should do it, you will be successful in anything you try.
Really? And honestly, to me, it's always meant, because, I've heard that saying for quite a long time, and to me, it's always meant that time where you know you should do something, but you want to put it off. Well, yeah. Don't put it off. Do it then. Get it done. Life will be better. Life will be healthier.
Well, good. All right. I think that's the last of the cards. So, anyway, we've had a good discussion on a number of things, but these are some great points to just the reminders. I'm sure that most of our listeners is nothing new, but they're great reminders. Don't take yourself too seriously. Walk your own path and take delight in doing that. Yeah, we'll start wrapping things up. And so, just keep being you and be you for all it's worth. Look for good that you can do and be that positive influence on those within your sphere of influence. It's a much better life that way than otherwise. There's a lot of pain and crap in the world, but we don't have to be that way. I've always had this thing. I don't think life has to be as hard as it is or as hard as we make it. It's just a matter of making better decisions, because our choices are why we are where we're at. It's all about the choices we've made. So we make better decisions, we make better choices, and our lives become better. It's just logical. So thanks to everybody who joined us tonight for the live program. Sorry about the chat, not refreshing. Have no clue what caused that, but I'll figure it out. Thanks to Michael for filling in tonight, more so. And next week we'll of course be back with another program. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.